Have you ever wanted to know about the origins of issues, etc.? Did you know church leaders were opposed to teaching the laity Reformation theology? Check out our new YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology, issuesetc.org, and click support, equipping the priesthood of all believers. Watch the short YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology today. Just go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Chair congratulates Reverend Matthew C. Harrison and declares him as the newly elected president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
I wish to inform you that you have kept your perfect record of electing sinners as presidents of the Missouri Synod.
I jokingly called this the Issues Etc. Revolution, the near complete sweeping out of the old guard that emphasized church growth practices and contemporary worship styles down the line.
It's faith that makes you aware of the doubt. And a person that has no faith in God isn't hurt by doubt. It's the Christians that are feeling the struggle that's inside of them.
Florida truck drivers love Issues, etc.
Well, you see this all the time. You see couples that have, for one reason or another, not because they can't, but because they won't, have children. It's not a question of fertility or the ability. It's a question of one's willingness to have and rear children. People come to all stages of their lives as a couple, as a married couple, husband, a wife, and they say, well, you know, maybe we're not going to have any kids. Life's pretty good without kids. Why would we bring a child into this world? Or maybe they have no interest in raising the next generation. Now, that's just isolated incidents. Is it a movement? Could it be that there is a child-free movement? People who organize themselves, organize and socially with others around the idea of not, intentionally, not having children. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in on this Thursday afternoon, July the 29th. We're going to be talking with Colleen Carol Campbell about the child-free movement. After that, we'll spend the rest of the hour talking about the beliefs and practices of the United Pentecostal Church, also called Oneness Pentecostalism. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, or send us a tweet. Colleen Carol Campbell is host of a weekly television program called Faith and Culture. She's author of the book, The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Colleen, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
Can we tell why some couples are rejecting the role of parenthood?
Well, obviously, the reasons vary according to the couple, but I think what we see overall in the child-free movement, which has really been growing in the last few decades, and especially just in the last decade, is this very conscious and emphatic rejection of parenthood on the basis of what they see as the burdens that come with raising children, burdens that are regarded increasingly by many Americans as unreasonable, extraordinary, and simply not accompanied by enough rewards to justify the decision to have children.
So, how would you describe the child-free movement? Is it a bona fide movement as far as you can tell?
Well, it actually is. I mean, of course, for years, many people have chosen to not have children, to reject parenthood. I think what's different, though, is in the last few decades, we've seen the growth of more of an institutionalization of this movement. Parents not allowed social clubs like No Kidding and the Non-Moms Club, gathering sites online and websites like Happily Child Free and Child Free by Choice, and the term child free itself being something that has been coined by this movement and embraced more and more. These groups have, as I mentioned, meetings, they have websites, they even have T-shirts for sale on a lot of their websites that, you know, say things like, the only wine I want is aged and served with cheese, or another one, end world hunger, use condoms. So this is a group that's coming out of the shadows. It's not apologizing for not having children. It's very much proud of the choice and in some ways rather judgmental toward those of us who have chosen to have children.
What kind of research have you found that gives us an insight into the child-free movement?
Well, there was a Pew Research Center survey that just came out, and it was kind of the reason for the Post-Dispatch column that I wrote on this subject, because I found it very interesting. Pew found that the proportion of American women who end their childbearing years without having had children has really spiked in recent decades. There were 1 in 10 women fit that description in the 1970s. Today, it's 1 in 5. And interestingly enough, this childlessness has risen for all racial and ethnic groups and most education levels. In fact, the only uptick in births in terms of education levels was among women with the most advanced degrees, but they still remain the group most likely not to have children at all, even though there have been a few more of them having children in the last decade than before. So this is something that's sweeping across socioeconomic lines. This is not just one group of people. And, you know, along these same lines, there have been a lot of polls coming out. Pew has actually tracked this quite a bit, showing such things as only a minority of Americans now agreeing that childless people miss out on something, lead less fulfilling lives, only a minority regarding children as a very important part of a successful marriage, and fewer than 4 in 10 Americans today believe that the trend toward intentional childlessness hurts society. So along with these dropping birth rates, what we're also seeing is a growing belief that parenthood is not a natural part of life. Obviously, it can't always be a part of everyone's life. Some couples simply don't have the option of becoming biological parents. And they struggle with infertility, and that's, of course, a very sad thing for those who deeply want children. But this is about more than relaxation of social pressure to procreate. It's really about consciously celebrating a child-free life. And, of course, the very term child-free gives you a sense of how children are regarded by some of the folks leading this movement as something from which you want to be free of.
Is it a reaction, in a sense, to kind of the baby craze, the notion that I'm and I want to tread carefully here, because there is a very profound truth in the fact that, and I speak as a father, that one's marriage and one's life together as husband and wife is truly fulfilled in the bearing and raising of children. It really is. But have we painted a utopian view of marriage to which we find people overreacting?
Well, I think there is some truth when the childless by choice crowd says that we are baby-crazed and kid-centric in some sense. And I'm thinking now of, you know, Brangelina's newborn twins fetching $14 million, reality shows like John and Eight, Kate Plus Eight, and 19 Kids and Counting, which have been big hits, and the way that parents go into great debt buying all sorts of things for their children, from designer diaper bags and designer baby clothes to select sports camp experience, every new tech gadget that comes out. There's a sense today, I think, that in order to be a perfect parent, you have to do it perfectly. You have to conceive your children at the perfect time. They have to arrive in perfect health, perfect condition, even the exact gender that you were hoping for. You have to outfit them with the perfect gear and all of the perfect experiences. They have to have perfect outcomes, and they have to bring you perfect fulfillment. And I think, in some sense, there's something rather understandable about people saying, well, gosh, I don't fit up to that. I'm not able to live up to that kind of standard, and my life doesn't look ready for that sort of experience. And you know, frankly, if life is all about maximizing pleasure and minimizing pain, which, of course, as Christians, we know is not the point of life, but our culture tells us that's the point. Well, if you look at children from that perspective, then there is a case to be made to be child-free by choice, even when, by all other accounts, you really are a couple that would seem to be perfectly prepared for parenthood. But in fact, that term perfect is what's so important here. I think parenthood in many ways has become this idealized experience that if you don't do it exactly right, the way all the experts tell us it has to be done, and if your child is not, in a sense, the perfect commodity, then maybe you should bag it all together and not even try.
I'm getting ready as a father to watch one of my birds fly the nest. Okay, it's happening. You're kind of at the other end of that whole process there.
Right.
But I am struck by the fact that that 18 plus years have flown by.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. I mean, I watch my parents say this and then experiencing myself. It is a very humbling thing to realize that your time with the hands-on kind of parenting that you do is coming to an end, at least in that form. Talk to those people who are childless by choice and tell them, please, with about a minute here or a little bit more, what they're missing?
Well, I think, you know, when we talk about happiness and pleasure, and that's a lot of the studies done on this group of people, that actually their day-to-day pleasure is higher than that of people in the throes of raising children and terrible twos and diaper disasters and all the rest of it. I think we need to distinguish that from deep and abiding joy. And I think as Christians, we certainly know that joy is always linked to sacrifice and in a certain sense, even to suffering. And we know that from a theological perspective, but I think it's also true in the realm of parenting. And I think the kind of joy that comes from raising a child, actually helping a human person become what God meant for him to be and go out into the world and bring gifts to the world that would not otherwise be there if this human person had not been raised the way you raised them, had not been brought into the world at all. That is, I think, a sense of accomplishment and fulfillment that can't really be described by those who are trying to figure out how this fits into a cost-benefit analysis. Yeah, you're going to lose some sleep. Yeah, you're going to have some grocery store tantrums, and you're going to probably have a lot of heartbreaks. I think that goes with the territory. You're also, I think, going to have a joy and a fulfillment that simply is really indescribable. And in some ways, parenthood is an adventure for which you're never prepared. And that's the point. It's just part of life. And I think for those of us blessed with children, it's a wonderful blessing, and it's not something to regard as a burden, even when it can feel that way a little bit day to day. That's part of life, and it's part of what ultimately brings us joy.
Colleen Carroll Campbell is host of a weekly television program called Faith and Culture. She's author of the book The New Faithful, and she's a weekly columnist for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. You can read those columns at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Colleen, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
When we come back from this break, we're going to spend the remainder of this hour on this Thursday afternoon, July the 29th, talking about the beliefs and the practices of the United Pentecostal Church. It's also known as Oneness Pentecostalism. Dr. H. Wayne House of Faith Seminary will be our guest.
Are you looking for a church where you can receive the gifts of God in the gospel and the sacraments and in the church's historic worship with lively music? Then come to Hope Lutheran Church in South St. Louis. We're located on the corner of Brannan and Neosho Streets at 5218 Neosho. You can also reach us on the World Wide Web at www.hopelutheranstl.org and give us a call at 314-352-0014. There is hope in St. Louis.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology, and we'd like to send you an Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
Hi, this is Ville calling from Finland. I believe the day will come when you cannot enter the office as a pastor in the ELCA unless you subscribe to the ordination of gays and lesbians. And why do I believe that? Because Americans are sinners like we sins are.
Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. IssuesETC.org.